Turn with me, if you would, into your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we're going to look at a piece of scripture today that is amazing to say the least. Did you hear that? Did anybody hear anything? Did you smell anything? Did you feel anything? Did anybody see anything? What? You didn't see it? You didn't hear it? You didn't feel it? It was here. It's still here. We're told about it. We were told long ago, thousands and thousands of years ago, we were told about it. I know, you think I lost it. I got older, I'm a little. No. Did you feel the presence of God here today? Why not? Let me ask you another question. Did you come expecting to hear or see or feel God today? He promised us it. He promised in His Word. He told His disciples when He would, even before He was crucified, He says, I must go away, but if I go away, I will send someone in my place, the Comforter, to come unto you. Do you believe it? Do you believe in God's Word? Did you come this morning to the house of God really anticipating, expecting to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit? You see, we celebrate Pentecost this past week. The word itself, it means 50 days or 50, meaning there was 50 days from the time that Christ was crucified until He sent His Holy Spirit. And I said thousands of years ago, we were told about it. It wasn't just when Christ was coming close to the end of His life here on earth that He said, I must go away and send someone else. But go clean back into Exodus chapter 2. And it talks about how God said to Moses, He says, here's the law that I am giving to you. And that law was given out up on the mountain. And you see, Pentecost is really originated back in that time. The Israelites, they had feasts. They had certain feasts that they had to celebrate. They were required to go to Jerusalem and offer sacrifices. The first one we know about was the Passover. And we know what that's about when God first delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. And He told them to put the blood on the hyssop and circle around their door frame. And when the angel of death would come by, it would pass over if you had that on your door frame. But the second feast that they were required to celebrate was the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Harvest. Okay? And it also became known as the Feast of the Institution of God's Law. So all of these are wrapped up. You see, in Israel, when you go over there, they have five or six cuttings of hay. If you're a farmer, you know around this western Pennsylvania, if you get three cuts of hay a year, you had a good year. Usually you get two. The third one, you may cut a whole field down and get one wagon load of hay. Okay? But in Israel, they have five or six cuttings because God has blessed them. Okay? And that land is fertile. So the idea was that week of feast, that week of first harvest, is they were to give back to God a portion of that first harvest that they required. Okay? So it was giving back, and every man had to go and they had to offer sacrifices not only for their sin, but also for their, the love offering, the peace offering, all the offerings that they were required to do. But Moses also received that law. And we know that the law is represented in Jesus Christ. And Christ came to the earth not to abolish the law, but what? To fulfill the law, right? Okay, so Moses, you look at this event in Acts chapter 2. It's talking about the coming, the filling of the Holy Spirit on the lives of believers. Now, how many of us truly come to church expecting to be filled, anticipating, excited about, waiting to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I'll be honest with you. I've come to church and because mom and dad made me, or because I had to, or because I was a preacher and had to give the message. We can make all kinds of excuses. But there's sometimes we get so caught up in ourselves and the world around us that we forget that God is waiting for us. And not only here at church, not only as we come in through these doors, this isn't only the holy place. Remember, he did away with the temple. God lives in our hearts now. He says, I'm going away, and when I go away, I will send the Comforter, and he will be with you and in you. So here we have something that took place in Acts chapter 2. And do we have the PowerPoint? There we are. Thank you. Acts chapter 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house, and they were sitting where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I was serious about, did you hear or feel the presence of the Holy Spirit? I did, and I'm not bragging. I don't want you to think that. But could you sense God's presence in the worship? In the singing? When we were praying at the altar, God's saying, I'm here. You know, those believers came anticipating to hear from God. God told them, wait. You go to Jerusalem and wait, and I will send my Spirit upon you. And then you will go out into all the worlds, into the Judeas, the Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, and preach the good news. So they were waiting. They came anticipating something great. They didn't know what would happen. And whoa, lo and behold, right in front of their eyes, they're seeing fire come down, like tongues of fire coming down upon them. I'm sure if we saw that, we would be startled. We'd be like, wow. Hey, did you see that? I can't believe this. But you see, the Holy Spirit also comes in many different forms. You know, when Elijah was up on the mountain, and God says, what are you doing, Elijah? He says, you know, I'm going to show you myself to you. God said to Elijah, I'm going to show myself to you. There was a strong wind. There was an earthquake. There was a loud roar of thunder and lightning. And it wasn't in that. Throughout Scripture, there's many symbols. Symbols means something that there's two words, Greek words there, and they mean throw and together. So a symbol is something that is put beside something else to represent it. You know, we're people who like to touch. We like to feel. We like to smell, okay? We want to know beyond a shadow of doubt. We're creatures of habit, and we don't always like to step out in faith and believe just because we read it that this is what's happening. We want to see it, and that's why so many people are skeptical of the Holy Spirit. But there's five things I want to quickly go through that are signs of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. The first one is the spirit of the dove. And in Matthew chapter 3 and verses 16, when Jesus was baptized, he went down into the water, and when he come up out, what descended upon him? What came upon the Lord? The Holy Spirit, right? In form of a dove. Okay. I think it's right there, isn't it? Are you awake? And it said, the Spirit of God descended. I even gave you the answer to that. The Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. You know, when my kids were growing up, my oldest one, remember Touched by an Angel, that program that was on, and how you always seen that dove flying away? Every week, never fail, my oldest one would say, "Why is the Holy Spirit a dove?" I'm like, "I don't know, Jeremy, because that's what the Lord chose." "Well, why isn't a cow?" I said, "Do you ever have a cow fall on you? It's not very light." It's one of those questions. You never have the right answer. But that was a symbol. That was God's approval. And he said to Jesus, he said to the people, "This is my son whom I am well pleased." So the first one we have is a symbol of a dove. The second symbol is water. And water is actually a double symbol, and it means word and spirit. It's a symbol of the word, but it's also a symbol of the spirit. In Ephesians 5:26, it says, "Husband, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, and to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through" what? "The word." Okay, you catch that? You know, when we think of water, we think of a couple things. Cleansing, a bath, swimming. You know, we think of water of a way to cleanse us of our dirt. If you haven't had water in a while, you kind of get a little stinky, a little raunchy, and not very pleasant to be around. So, you know, at least once a week we try to take a bath. So water represents the cleansing. Through the Word of God, he tells us what's wrong with us. We wash those areas out. Okay? Water is a cleansing agent. It's meant to cleanse away, to wash away the dirt, the filth. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing in each of us, washing away the sin in our lives. Also, the water is a symbol of refreshing. Now, last weekend, my wife and I and the kids, we went up camping, and we were up at Lake Erie. It wasn't quite as beautiful as this, but I didn't take a picture of that, so I put the next best thing out there. But how many see that water and say, "Oh, does that look refreshing?" To be able to have a drink of cold mountain spring water. Water that's been untouched by man, but God has blessed us with it. It's refreshing, isn't it? Even though it hasn't been in the refrigerator, it's cool. It's soothing going down. And we love it. In John 4:14, it says, "But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring, a water welling up to eternal life." So here we have the Holy Spirit not only cleansing us, cleaning us of the impurities, of the sin in our lives, but also refreshing us. Now, this past week, I live right outside of Zillion Upple. And I think it was on Wednesday morning, we were without electric from 2 o'clock in the morning till about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't know what happened. A bunch of transformers, I heard, blew out, a whole bunch of them. And work, I went into work. I wasn't going to sit there in the dark, so I went back home. And it came back on about 1 o'clock. I went back into work. But you don't realize how much the little things that you depend upon, like water. Now, I live out of town, so I don't have city water. I have a well. If you don't have electric, what doesn't work? The pump, right? So you can't go to the bathroom because you can't flush it. There's no water to push it out. There's water, but you can't get more. You depend on the little things, how much we depend on water. You know, the scripture tells me we only live 40 days without water and food. They're essential to us. So if water represents the Holy Spirit, wouldn't you think that it's essential that we have the Holy Spirit in our lives? Fire is another symbol of the Holy Spirit. And again, fire is an amazing thing. It's also a double of the word, a double symbol of the word and of the spirit. Okay? First of all, in Jeremiah 29, it says, "Is not my word like a fire?" Now, when you go camping, what do? You build a what? Campfire, right? I mean, that's part of camping. marshmallows, s'mores, you know, burn the hot dogs so they're nice, crispy, and black, and all that good stuff. But it's also neat to sit there after it starts getting dark with your friends and family. You're sitting there just talking. You're watching that fire. You know, last weekend was beautiful, okay? There wasn't a cloud in the sky on Saturday night. And to see all the stars and just sit there, it was comfortable while you weren't cold. And the fire was going, and watch the flame dart up, and you know, I threw some wood on it, and it would come up through the crack. It would glow, and then it would go out, and then it would come up over here, and it would go out. But it kept burning, and it got in the middle. Once some coals got hot, you know, it was just glowing orange. But that word or that fire is consuming, meaning it's burning up that wood. If I wouldn't have separated it. When it came time to go to bed, if I wanted to separate it, it would have kept burning past when I fell asleep. So the fire is consuming. It's like the Word of God. It permeates. It comes into our life. It also represents the presence of God. Remember back when Moses, in Exodus chapter 3, God says, get the people ready. He says, get the people ready. This is what we're going to do. He says, you tell them to cleanse themselves, and in 3 days, they're going to come see. I'm going to talk to them. And God, and Moses went up on the mountain. He saw this burning bush, and he tried to get closer. And he says, no, 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 Moses, stay back. Because you're standing on holy ground. He felt the presence of God. If you ever gotten too close to a fire, you felt the heat. You can only get so close before it starts burning and singeing the hair and melting your skin, literally. But the presence of God, His existence, it also shows the power of God. It's all-consuming. If you keep giving it oxygen, that fire is going to burn up anything that it gets its hands onto. You know, look at the wildfires out in the Midwest when they happen. It could have started by a bad camper. You know, someone has started a fire, a spark, a lightning, whatever it is. What happens to that fire? They spend days, weeks, months sometimes trying to put that fire out. Why? Because the power of it is so great, so enormous, so expansive, they can't get a grasp on it until it almost burns itself out. God's the same way. His presence is everywhere. His power is all powerful. And also, it's purging. In Matthew chapter 3, it says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. You see, the Holy Spirit, if he's living in our life, your heart might get singed. Your heart might get burnt if there's chaff, if there's sin, if there's evil, if there's wrong in your heart and in your spirit, because the Holy Spirit doesn't like that. In the presence of God, it'll chew it up, it'll burn it up, it'll get rid of it. So when we come with the Holy Spirit in our heart, that quenching, that cleansing from the fire. I remember growing up on the farm, and sometimes Dad would, in the spring of the year, would burn the weeds off the bank by the fence post to get rid of the old stuff. And the new grass would grow up. But the Holy Spirit is like a quenching fire in our hearts. There's a fire, there's a desire there to live for Him. Another sign is the wind. It says we're born of the Spirit and baptized by the Spirit. Anybody ever witness a tornado? Okay? Awesome, isn't it? If that dirt wasn't in the air, though, and all that debris, the buildings, the cows, or whatever else is up in that tornado, would you see it? No, because there's dirt in there. It's gathered up, all the dirt in it. If you go outside, does anybody see the wind? Does that mean it's not there? You see, the Holy Spirit is like the wind. It's always there. It's present. If it was 90 degrees out, humidity 100%, and not the air, a single leaf turning, no air moving at all, how would you feel? Oppressed, wouldn't you? It would be oppressive. You'd have to have everybody be sitting there going like this, or got a fan going on you, right? Why? Because you want that air moving to give you something to breathe, to feel like you're breathing. That's the way the Holy Spirit is. He's like the wind. He's constantly blowing the dirty air out. We remember growing up in this Pittsburgh, around Pittsburgh, the steel mills and all the smoke. On the days that it wasn't windy, they'd give these high alerts because of the smog, right? That wind was actually a blessing because it would blow all the dirty air out and give us fresh air. It's the way with the Holy Spirit. He wants to breathe fresh air into our lives. He wants to breathe life into us. Wine is another symbol, a stimulation, exhilaration. You know, we all probably know people, or maybe in your past life, that you used to go out and have a few and get a little bit intoxicated, and I'm not advocating that, and I ask that you wouldn't. But yet, what Scripture tell us? Do not be filled with wine, but what? Fill with the Spirit of God. Why? Because He should give you exhilaration. He should give you joy. He should give you excitement. Have you ever been used of God and felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, that when you did something, you knew it wasn't by you, by your own choice, by your own actions, by your own thoughts, because you're not smart enough to do that, but you realize that was the Holy Spirit working in you and through you? That is so exciting. I've witnessed that. I've seen God work in Little Drake up by Grove City where I preached at. He did things up there that we're amazed at. And we said, that was God's hand in the Holy Spirit. I'll give you a quick example. We did a car cruise up there 1 year. We did it 2 years in a row. The first year, I said, I want to have a car cruise. And they says, okay, where are you going to have it at? Because our place was only about an acre and a half. And I says, we'll go over to the outlet malls. And one of the ladies on there was a township commissioner or supervisor. And she says, well, that ain't going to happen. I said, what do you mean it ain't going to happen? He's never allowed anybody. He's a hard guy to deal with. He's a businessman. He won't do it. He won't allow it. I says, well, then we'll pray about it. We'll ask God to work. We prayed about it. Set up a meeting. We went to the outlet mall, and I talked to the person. They said, sure. I think that's a great idea. He gave us the forms. We filled it out. He allowed us to do it 2 years in a row. The second year I went back to ask him if we could do it again. He said, yeah, we even reserved a date for you. No other church. You know, here's Drake with 30 people, and we got to be at Grove City Outlet Malls, and we have people from other countries come and look at cars. Grove City Alliance and other churches up there, whether they never tried or whatever reason. But that was the hand of God through the Holy Spirit working on people's lives. And you've got to give God the credit. And the last symbol of the Holy Spirit is oil. The name Messiah in both the Greek and the Hebrew means anointed one. And one of the first signs of anointed is when in 1 Samuel chapter 16, when Samuel was told to anoint David as the new king. And he poured that olive oil, that oil down over his head to represent filling of the Holy Spirit, of ministering through David, that David was going to be used by God for his purpose. It wasn't the oil. It wasn't Samuel that was getting the glory. It was the Holy Spirit poured out upon David. When we come to the altar for healing, we come expecting God to work. It's not the pastor. It's not the elder. It's not even the bottle of oil that we have that we pour on you and anoint you with. but it's a Holy Spirit that works in us and through us. So don't get confused about the Spirit being a person. Don't come expecting me to be someone I'm not. I'm just God's vessel, used by God to give you the word. God gets the glory. That's the way He wants it. That's the Holy Spirit working in us. But we have to be willing to be acceptable, willing to be used by God. So when we come to church, do we come anticipating God? In verse 5 it says, now they're staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking his own language, utterly amazed, and they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? A couple things here. Tongues of fire. We talked about fire a little bit earlier. And also it talks about speaking in tongues. I believe in tongues, the gifts of tongues, okay? It is a gift of God. Do I do it? No. Does that mean I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit? No. I've heard people speak in it on a few occasions, okay? But Paul also tells us if no one's there to interpret it, what good is it? So if someone stands up and speaks in tongues, okay, fine. Who can interpret it? How do we know they're speaking in the Word of God? The Alliance's guidelines is seek not, forbid not. In other words, do we believe in tongues? Yes. Do we believe that that's the only way to be filled with the Holy Spirit? No. There are other ways. The gifts of the Spirit. But if someone has that, we don't forbid it either. Just make sure that they're sincere and someone can interpret it for them. But also, I believe, remember it says that over 3,000 people were saved? I believe the reason God used the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the tongues of fire and speaking in tongues was because He wanted to make it a point that every man, woman, child, whatever, in this world can hear the Word of God and know who God is. He made sure that day when 3,000, it says men, women, and children, there was probably Greeks here, Arabs there, Israelis there, Egyptians there, every nation around there was probably represented there. The only thing they had in common, perhaps, was their faith in Jesus Christ, that they asked Jesus Christ into their heart. God poured out His Spirit through the tongues so that everyone in today, in that day, and throughout history will know Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins and that they can be forgiven if you believe in Him. That's why I believe it seems so spectacular to us. But when you look at it, God has a simple plan that none will be forgotten. Another thing that they were filled with the truth. In verse 14 it says, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. They were filled with the truth. Peter got up there and he said, I don't care what you think, but I'm going to tell you what you just saw. You saw the very Spirit of our living God. When Jesus died, He says, I'm going to send my Comforter. And you just witnessed Him coming upon us through His Holy Spirit. And He went back and He says, listen, if you want this Spirit of God in your life, here's what it is. And He started back with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And He went down through history. And He even says, even this man Jesus, whom you crucified and thought you were getting rid of, was done for a purpose to show that He is my Son and that He died for your sins. So if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That was the message that Peter gave that day. And he might have spoken it several different ways, but the message was plain and simple. He says, Jesus told us, we believe it, and he has manifested himself in us today through his Holy Spirit. Folks, if you came to church today truly seeking God, we never go away disappointed. I remember Mother's Day of 1988. My wife and I came here because we came from a church that was going through an ugly split, and I just felt I couldn't go attend a church that was treating the pastor the way they were. And we hadn't gone anywhere for a couple months, and friends of ours invited us here. And I was skeptical, but I knew the people that invited us. I loved them dearly, and they meant a lot to Kay and I. In fact, she played in our wedding. So we came. And I left that day, and I said to my wife, that is the first time I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in a message in a long time. I felt it this morning in all three services. God is here in his Holy Spirit, and he wants to manifest himself in you and through you. Do you believe the word? Do you believe he can? These 3,000 people, they came anticipating something exciting. They came listening. They came seeking. They came to know God firsthand, and he didn't disappoint them because they spoke the truth, the word of God. And what was the end result? But they were filled with the Holy Spirit. As we leave today, you know, we can come to church every week, and we have a great group of pastors, musicians, and that's great, and I love them all. But if that's all we come for, at some point we're going to be disappointed. We need to come searching to be filled weekly, daily by the Holy Spirit. You could see what's going on with the parking lot, Pastor Dave mentioned. The youth group down in the children's area downstairs, it's probably 99.9% finished. Those are all great things, and we could sit and look and say, oh, wow, look at us. We got a nice building. We're going to have a nice parking lot. We're going to be able to do all this. But if God isn't in it, it's just our hands working. If we are not filled with the Spirit, if we are not willing to be led by the Spirit to this group in our community of sin, of the people that are going to hell because they don't believe in Jesus Christ, then this is all for naught. But the only way we're going to reach them, like the people at Pentecost in Acts, is through the Holy Spirit, allowing him to work in us and through us. And that means coming, anticipating that God will work in us. Do you believe that? Do you really want to see God not just grow this church for numbers, but how about spiritually, us individually, those who are lost and going to die and go to hell? Do we care? Or is it all about just us? Because if we don't have the Holy Spirit in us, we're going to probably be one of those ones other than the 3,000 that prayed to receive the Holy Spirit that day. Where do you stand today? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I'll ask you again, did you hear him? Did you see him? Did you feel him? You know, our senses, all these emotions. He told us, he said, you go wait on me and I will send my Spirit. God never lies, so that must mean he sent his Spirit. Where are we? Where are you? Do you believe? Do you want the filling of the Holy Spirit? Let's bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the challenge. Lord, this morning as we put aside all the things that we got on our plate, I pray, Father, that we will walk out of here today truly believing, truly knowing, feeling, smelling, hearing the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, speak to us. If there's one here that needs you, may you hear their cry. May they hear you standing there knocking and saying, I'm here. Open. Come. Maybe there's someone here that never received you as their Lord and Savior. Father, make this the day so that they too could have this Holy Spirit living within them by repenting and asking Jesus into their heart. Thank you, Father. We ask this all in the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.